Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello and welcome to Brokenomics. Now, in this episode, let's get into Bitcoin once again. You may recall that I talked about Bitcoin a fair bit on this channel. About a year ago, I sort of made various videos pushing it and got various guests in to sort of push it because I felt that was really the right time to be buying Bitcoin. It was worth about just under about $20,000 at the time. It's now come roaring back. Well, let's have a look. It is $67,500 at the time of recording this video. You will see this about a week late because there's a bit of a lag time for editing. So who knows where it's gone by then? It might have had one of its early bull run mini corrections of sort of 15%, or it might be up in the 80s or something. You know, I guess we just have to find out when this video actually comes out. But I thought I would talk about what's driving it, where it is, what the macro considerations are that are pushing this. Talk about some of the interesting market dynamics behind it, such as BlackRock have decided that they're interested in Bitcoin. Well, they're very interested in Bitcoin now, and that could be a significant driver. The ETFs have come out, where Bitcoin is in relation to the market caps of other major asset classes. And I thought this would be an interesting video to tease out some of those market consideration factors. Right, so let's get into... Bitcoin, yes. So, like I say, pushed it last on this channel quite heavily when it was about $20,000. And actually, the vehicle that I personally prefer for getting in and out of Bitcoin is a company called MicroStrategy, which you've heard me talk about before. MicroStrategies is a US tech company that decided that it was going to convert all of its treasury holdings into Bitcoin. And because at the time it was one of the few vehicles that you could buy easily on the sort of the trading platforms, your pension account or whatever else, it effectively sort of became a Bitcoin ETF, but it uses leverage on it. And I will go more onto MicroStrategies later in the video, but that went from 200 at the time that I was talking about it to, as of today, it's about 1400, something like that. So that's had a even stronger return. Now, it is a bit tricky talking about assets because basically I broadly suspect that everybody I was pushing Bitcoin to at 20,000 probably didn't heed my advice and go out and buy it, but they're probably a bit more likely to now that it is more than triple the price. And because we've now started on the early bull run bit, obviously Bitcoin at 20,000 is a lot more attractive than Bitcoin at 60,000. I think it has further to run, but then I'll talk to you about the downside of the cycle, because there is normally a correction that follows any sort of bull market period. And I think this bull market period that we're entering could actually run for a year to 18 months if it's anything like previous cycles. So I want to be very cautious about the way that I talk about this. This is very important. I want to be very clear that none of this is financial advice, because I will get in trouble with the Financial Conduct Authority if I don't make that perfectly clear. Now, I'm not a financial advisor. I have been a financial advisor, well, as a wealth manager, which is the same thing, but just customers with more zeros in their account. I have all the relevant exams and all that kind of stuff, but I am not a practicing financial advisor, and I don't have my accreditation up and all that kind of thing. And even if I was, I'd need to know your the ins and outs of your personal detail. Well, not too personal, obviously, but you get the idea. I'd need to know a lot more about you. So just to be perfectly clear, this is not financial advice, and you should pay absolutely no attention to me whatsoever. In fact, you should probably click out of the video immediately, just in case I say something stupid. But with that proviso in place, let's press on. Right, so where has Bitcoin got to at the moment? As we mentioned, it's breached its all-time highs as of the time of recording in basically every currency except for the US dollar and a small handful of others. It's passed its all-time high in pound sterling, which is nice because I live in the UK. It's only, I can't imagine it's more than half a trading day away from breaching its all-time high in the US dollar as well. So that puts Bitcoin at a total market capitalization of about 1.3 trillion at the moment, maybe 1.4. What does that mean? Let's put that in some context against something else. The big one that Bitcoin is going for is to replace the market capitalization or achieve the market capitalization of gold. Gold also hit an all-time high, as I mentioned. Gold is up at around 15 trillion, maybe a bit less, slightly less. So 15 trillion is the level that Bitcoin would have to achieve. And so, like I say, it's 15 trillion versus about 1.4 trillion. So there's a big gap. But when you start looking at other major assets, which are basically going to be the US listed stocks, things like Microsoft, that's the biggest company in the world at the moment at 3 trillion. So 3 trillion versus 1.3, it is starting to catch up on the biggest stocks in the world. Apple, they're not far behind. They're a bit below 3 trillion. I think they're like 2.7, something like that. So it's moving up on that. Nvidia, which of course has just had a massive, massive run because it got into supplying the hardware for what do you call them, the bloody computer things, the AI. There we go, the AI. So it's coming up on that. Nvidia is about 2 trillion. Saudi Aramco, about 2 trillion as well. Amazon, that's a bit less than 2 trillion. And then the only thing else you've got above it is Google, which is about 1.6 trillion. There is one more thing, silver. Silver is almost neck and neck now with Bitcoin. So silver is about 1.4 trillion and Bitcoin is very slightly behind it. So it looks like in the reasonably close future, possibly by the time you watch this video, Bitcoin would have surpassed silver, and I would expect it over the course of the bull run that we are entering now to surpass things like Google and Amazon and possibly even Saudi Aramco and Nvidia and that kind of stuff. Ultimately, I think it will do very well, and I think ultimately it will take out gold's market capitalization. It has surpassed Facebook. Facebook is about 1.25 trillion market capitalization, so it's gone up past that. So Bitcoin I think this is a massive opportunity for everybody, including everybody watching this. It's the fastest growing asset class of all time, in the highest return asset class of all time, and the fantastic thing about this, as I talked about in my previous videos, you get to front run the institutions. because it is a right pain for institutions to buy into for the reasons that we come on to, and actually we covered them before anyway. But for you, it is much, much simpler. For an individual, buying Bitcoin is a fairly trivial process. But for institutions where... Who do you trust with the keys? Who do you trust with the ability to buy and sell? It's very difficult to do that through an individual. There are solutions that have been dealt that can do that, and in particular the ETFs, which we come and talk about as well. So, but essentially, you know, as an individual, the institutions are only just arriving now, and most of them have yet to make an allocation, and we'll talk about the implications that that could have. So it's a fantastic opportunity. It's fast growing. You can get there ahead of the banks and the sovereign wealth funds, which is almost never the way it works. Normally, you get to buy after those guys. But the fundamental thing for me is that fiat money is dying. So we basically had 5,000 years of hard money, which was effectively gold for the most part of that, some of the metals, but it was basically gold. And we've had 52 years of fiat money. Now, every time fiat money has been tried before, as we've talked about many times on this channel, it has always failed spectacularly. And I think that it's going to fail spectacularly as well. And I can give you a number of data points as we go into it as why it's going to fail spectacularly. I mean, it's just bloody obvious. I mean, if you watch this channel often enough. Money goes like this. Money starts off as a collectible. And then in order to become, to make the transition from collectible to money, it's got a couple of other stages. But gold, for example, it would have started off as just, oh, look, that is a shiny rock. I quite like it. Let's have one of those. And then if lots of people collect that thing, and there are loads of things that people collect, classic cars and wine and all of that kind of stuff, sometimes things will jump from that, well, not many things, but will jump from the collectible stage up to the three other things that they need to make money work, which is going to be store value, medium of exchange, unit of account. So to talk about those, store value, can you reliably store value in this thing over long periods? Maybe classic cars falls into that. Art, that definitely falls into that. That's a good store value. Medium of exchange, though, is can you use this to make purchases? Trying to think of something that isn't gold that you can use as a medium of exchange. Maybe treasury notes or something like that, but that's a sort of proxy for money anyway. And then unit of account is the big one. That's when basically everything gets listed in that thing. There is vanishingly few things that you cannot buy with US dollars. You can't buy the Kremlin. You can't buy, well, certain things you can't buy with the US dollar, but almost everything else you can buy with the US dollar. And where is Bitcoin now? Bitcoin is well, it started off as collectible, although the people who were collecting it, the vast majority had no idea how valuable what they had was, and they sold it or lost it. Store value. Oh, yeah, Bitcoin's definitely got that. People can and do. Use it to store their wealth and have been very successful in that. Medium of exchange is already there. Frequently, I see on-chain reports of people moving billions of dollars all around the world, and they're able to do it very, very quickly for next to nothing, for, you know, a few pounds, if that, in transaction cost, which just blows away the banking system. So it's already got the first three stages of what it needs to be money. The only thing that's missing is the unit of account. And I think there's a good argument to say that is coming soon. On the other half of the ledger, because, of course, when I started this, I was talking about Bitcoin being worth whatever it is, $67,000. Really, when you start getting into your Bitcoin a bit more and you start to sort of internalize the lessons of it, you start to realize, well, actually, the correct unit of account is one Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. So if I was speaking to a different audience, people who were perhaps, you know, fully committed Bitcoiners, and I occasionally do, you know, interviews on other shows and stuff, and I talk about it more in those terms there. But for a more general audience, we're going to denominate it by dollars. What's happening to dollars? Well, they're going to hell, aren't they? I mean, what is it? So the US is currently racking up $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. I mean, That's just palpably absurd, isn't it? Utterly absurd. A trillion in debt every 100 days. Well, how is that not going to just destroy the value? Well, it is destroying the value of the dollar. I mean, if you had $100 in the 18th century, you had a substantial stack of cash. Now, what does $100 get you? A meal out, trip to the family for the cinema, if you're lucky. And that was over the sort of slow period of dollar debasement. We're in the fast stage of dollar debasement now. Now, I do think, I won't go too much into this, but I do think that we have passed the local peak in inflation, and you will see inflation run off. It's not actually impossible that you'll get a negative inflation print over the next 6 months or something like that, because inflation is a rate of change metric and all of those things. We covered that elsewhere. But as I've also covered in many videos, currency debasement is the name of the game. Because, of course, if you're running up those sort of debt levels, there's no way that you can ever honestly pay them off. The only thing you can do is debase the denominator so that the debts go away in real terms. And that is going to happen. So, back to Bitcoin. You can front run the institutions. Anyone can put whatever percentage of their pay packet into it. You can work out for you what is maybe a trivial amount of money, or amount of money that for you is not significant. You know, you could just think to yourself, okay, what if I got one less takeaway, or ate out one less time a month, or something like that, or cancelled a subscription to something, and you could set up, and that is actually the way that we'll talk about this more later, but that is actually the way that I suggest you, if you are going to want to get in and you haven't already. Probably the best way of doing it is to set up a DCA, a dollar cost average, and you just set up a regular thing where you put whatever it is, £20 a week or whatever your number is into this thing. And I'll explain why I think that's a superior method, especially if this is going to be your first cycle watching this play out. But more importantly, we talk often on this channel about the money printing, the overtaxation, the debt run up, as we already have. Well, why not make that work for you? Why not say, okay, well, I hate that, but it's going to happen. It is happening. It's ramping up. And therefore I will save in a way that actually benefits from that money printing and overtaxation and over indebtedness and over financialization, all the rest of it, because that denominator is getting decreased all the time. The denominator is the money. So I'll invest in something or save in something that will benefit from that. Don't want to sound over harsh, but we can grumble all day about what the financial authorities and the governments are doing and all the rest of it. But you have a way that you can benefit from that, from Bitcoin, from opting out of that system. I talked about Bitcoin in relation to some major assets, like the Microsofts and the gold of this world. Another way of looking at Bitcoin is to compare it to the stock of money. So let's take M1, which is the narrow money classification. It's not as broad as M2, which is what we normally look at. It's wider than M0 of the cash, but it's M1 is basically the sort of the bank holdings and the physical cash and the near cash and all that kind of thing. So what people traditionally think of as money, without including all of that other fancy stuff, measured like that, the stock of money in the US is about is that trillion? You see, 100 million trillion, or is it 1800 trillion? Oh, anyway, well, it's 18 something. And I'll come back and clarify that. And dollar is up at 18, and Bitcoin is already at 1 on that same metric. I think it's, is it trillion or is it quadrillion? Oh, whatever. Anyway, so dollar's up at 18, Bitcoin is already at 1.2. United Kingdom is at 2.8. So as you can see, even measured against money itself, Bitcoin is slowly climbing that wall. In terms of narrow money, Bitcoin is already ahead of places like Australia and Canada and South Korea, you know, Russia, Saudi Arabia, you know, a whole bunch of different countries. So even on that metric, purely viewed as money, it's moving up the charts on that. So let's talk about the fun stuff. Where could this actually go? I want to give you some examples before we get into more of the nitty-gritty as to what's driving the current move at the moment. Let's talk about Fidelity. So Fidelity is one of the world's oldest money managers. It is a major money manager. If you have any investments, if you have a SIP or an ISA, or if you're in the US and you've got a, what do they call them, a 401 or whatever, all these various things, and you are investing money in interactively managed funds, you've probably seen Fidelity Funds, like I say, one of the major money managers of around the world. Their head of investment research, a guy called Jurian Timmer, he's the director of Global Macro, very knowledgeable, very sensible guy, a real heavyweight in the industry, and he has done research that says that, I'll give you the headline: Bitcoin could go to a billion, and that's per coin, a billion per coin. Now it's not quite as easy as that. He didn't really say it is as easy as that. I'm going to try and put up on the screen this Bitcoin supply and demand model. What this is showing is basically two different ways of measuring Bitcoin, Bitcoin price, what might be driving it. And there's two elements here. There's the demand model, which is the pink line you see going up here, a sort of nice logarithmic curve. And this is a logarithmic model as well. And the other one is the supply model. So let's explain both of those. So let's explain the logarithmic chart. So as you can see, the gap between $1 and $10 is the same size as between $10 and $100 is the same size as between, say, $1 million and $10 million. So, you know, each 10x increment is the same amount of chart space, so that you can track exponential trends over time. So you can see it sort of level off like that. So the first thing, the demand model, which kind of forms more or less their sort of floor price. The demand model is driven by Metcalfe's law. Now, I know I talked about this in previous episodes, but Metcalfe's law is basically saying that the value of a network grows as the number of users grow linearly. So the example that I've used before on this is telephones, for example. So if you've got the only telephone in the world, well, it's, what's the point? If you and your best mate have a telephone, well, all of a sudden now it has more value, a lot more value than if it was just one. But if everybody in your town has a telephone, well, now that network grows, and the value of that network and the usefulness to you grows significantly. And when everyone in the world has a telephone, as we do now, well, of course, the network is now much more valuable. Metcalfe's law has proved to be a very accurate and useful way of measuring growth of a whole bunch of technologies, including Bitcoin. And using that methodology, well, you think that the Bitcoin will reach 1 million by 2030. I actually happen to think that that is very reasonable. It's certainly well within the range that I think is perfectly viable by 2030. And just think about that, you know, what's that? A million, that's 15x where we are even today. So there's not many assets that you can go into where you can get a 15x return by the close of the decade, which is now only whatever it is, 6 years away. So that's the pink line on the chart, which is the demand model. The other model that they put in there is stock to flow. That needs a little bit of explaining. So stock to flow is how long the flow of the new supply coming in would take to replace the stock of what's already there. So give you an example, houses. If we were to get rid of all of the, at the rate the houses are being built today, if we got rid of all the houses, how long would it take to get back to the level that we're currently at? And with, you know, with houses, it's probably something like 60, 70 years it would take in order to so that the stock to flow level. And that's fairly low. If it was something like, tweets, if we were to delete every single tweet that's ever been sent at the current rate they're being produced, how long would it take us to get back to the stock that we have now? And I would imagine that would be a much, much lower stock to flow. You know, maybe that'd be, because it keeps growing, maybe that's like 7 years or whatever it is. Using stock to flow has also proved a very good metric for commodities. So it's very useful for I don't know, gold or something like that. Gold has a very high stock to flow in terms of its hardness on this model. Bitcoin is currently it has a looser stock to flow than gold does, but when the halving comes up, which we talk about in a moment, Bitcoin is going to surpass gold in terms of the hardness of it. That doesn't mean that it changes its total market cap. It just means that you can extrapolate from this where you think the price is going to go. Now, with that stock to flow model, and it is actually broadly right. I mean, it tends to show you more what the sort of upper ceiling might be. So, for example, in the last cycle that we had back in 2020, I think it was suggesting that the price of Bitcoin would go to something like $100,000. It actually went to, you know, just shy of $70,000. So it did fall short. But given that it was developed many years earlier, it was within the sort of broad remit of where you think it might go. If you follow the stock to flow model up, that's what gets you the billion by 2038, I think it was. I think we will probably divert from that, but I do think that the actual price by 2038 will be somewhere in between a million and a billion, which I appreciate is quite a large variance, but it is significantly better than where we are now. Just to reiterate, this is not financial advice. Do not listen to a single word I'm saying. You know, do not make any investment decisions on this. But that's for me why Bitcoin is a premier retirement asset. And as I explained in a previous Brokenomics, the risk return profile is just so asymmetric on this. So let's say it comes in at the lower end of this Fidelity model, and it comes in at a million by 2038. That's 15x where we are now. And what I mean by asymmetric is that if you, let's say you put a bit of money into this, well, the worst case scenario is you're going to lose 100% of your money that you put into it. And the upside is you get, you know, 1400%. So the upside is that, and the downside is like that, you know, it's a massive asymmetric difference between the upside and the downside, which is exactly the type of assets that I like, because I like high volatility. It does mean that I have to suffer sometimes eye-watering and cringe-inducing swings in the portfolio. I wanted to share that because when you start trying to model this in terms of the price that it can get, you do come out with some amazing numbers. The only other thing I'd say about the billion by 2038 is if it were to get there, that also builds in a fair bit of dollar going down effectively. So the dollar turning into toilet paper. And actually, when you look at it like that, I mean, it could go to any number, couldn't it? I mean, a pizza could be worth a billion. If the dollar completely craters Argentinian style, it doesn't go to quite that extent, but it does talk about that. So and the other thing is that if Bitcoin were to ever get up to that sort of level, it would almost certainly be seized by the government, because the dollar at that point would not, or the pound or anything else would not be worth anything, and in order for government to function, they would need a unit of account in order to trade with other countries and pay wages of the people that protect the politicians, because of course that must never, that bit of the budget at least must never be cut. So if we did get up there, it would just be, it would be stolen from you. It's very difficult to steal Bitcoin from people unless they hold it on exchanges, or they hold it in ETFs, or they hold it in other things that the government can just subpoena. Beyond that, they then got to start breaking down your doors and holding a gun to your head to get you to give up your own private keys, which is a lot easier to protect. So let's talk about the several ways that you can buy it. So the most superior way of doing it is to hold the raw Bitcoin itself. So that would look like going onto an exchange. As I mentioned, the way that I'd recommend doing it, if you are going to do it, is to put in a trivial amount every week or month, whatever's right for you, and invest in it with a long-term timescale. By what I mean, think of it as retirement money, or 10-year-out money, or paying off the mortgage money, or something like that. Don't think of it as, can I get a quick return on this? Because for reasons we go into, if you try and make a quick return on this, you'll end up blowing up, because that's what everybody does. The best way of doing it is to hold the raw Bitcoin. In order to do that, you need to go on an exchange, set it up, and then set that exchange so that you automatically have money paid in every month from your pay packet or whatever. It immediately buys Bitcoin, and then it gets sent out to a wallet which you control, and you'll need to get yourself a hardware wallet, something like a Trezor or a Ledger set up. You can keep it on the exchange. If it's a good exchange, you should be fine. But then obviously last cycle we thought that FTX was fine, and it wasn't. I think that Coinbase and Kraken, I use Kraken personally, are much more sturdy, but you know, I don't know what I don't know. And like I said, I thought FTX was right. So you know, maybe they're not. So holding it yourself on a hardware wallet would be the best thing. If you own the raw Bitcoin, nobody can take it off you unless you give it to them. You do need to be very responsible with the security of that hardware wallet. You need to make sure you've backed up the seed phrase at a completely separate location, and that seed phrase is also very robust. So you need to disguise it somewhat. But there are many ways that you can do that. But then you've got no counterparty risk at all, as long as you do it properly. Counterparty risk being that if you buy any other asset, there's always a way for somebody to default on it, or take out your position, or just seize it, or anything like that. Like stocks, for example, you know, something can always happen to that stock. If you've got gold in a bullion vault somewhere, the bank can just, you know, take it, or the government can take it, and all that kind of things. Bitcoin is one of the very few, and land, classic one, yeah, land. So you might think that land is a hard asset, but anytime the government wants more money, it can just say, you know, taxes on property are up, and we're going to take your property if you don't pay up that tax. So Bitcoin is one of those few assets that you can hold completely off anything else, and completely avoid that counterparty risk. You can bypass all financial institutions. You can you can send it to other people to make payments without involving any financial institution, which you just can't do with anything else apart from physical cash. And if you're making some sort of personal purchase or exchange over any significant distance, you don't really want to be, you know, getting on a plane and handing over a wallet full of cash because you'll get robbed at the airport by the government and everyone else. So what's interesting about what's happening at the moment? We talked about that stock to flow. The flow of Bitcoin, as we talked about in the previous video where we covered this, was what the miners are generating. And you may remember that there is only 21 million Bitcoin that will ever exist. I think 94% of that has already been mined. So I think we'd be mining it for the next 100 years or so. But every 4 years, the reward that you get goes in half. So if you were mining Bitcoin back in 2010, when it first started, you were getting 50 Bitcoin every time you mined a block. And God, I wish I had, because back in those early days, you could just set your laptop on it, and several times a day you'd have 50 Bitcoin drop into your wallet. Which would have been nice. It's currently 6.25, and it will be going to 3.125, because with the halving is coming up. I think the halving is coming up in 44 days, or 37 by the time you see this. So the reward that miners get will get cut in half. So what that is effectively doing is it's creating the conditions that have led to the bull market run on all previous 4 years. So previously, every time that happened, the supply gets cut, so you get this supply shock. So there's less supply coming into the market, which bumps the price up. So all previous cycles, when we talk about the cycles, that has led to a big rally in price. So, you know, the first time it was rallied the price up from a few cents to a dollar. Then the next time it was from the low hundreds to 1,000. And then after that, it was from a couple of thousand to 17,000. Last time it was from, what did it get up to? 69,000 last time. This time, big question is, you know, what's it going to do this time? Now, it's already run up somewhat in the pre-halving rally. If the history repeats, every previous time there's been a halving, after the halving, the price has doubled, and the only thing that changed is how long it took it to double. So in 2013, I think 18 days after the halving, it doubled. 2013, 10 days, 2017, 84 days, and then 2020, it took 18 days. So given that we were, whatever we're at now when you're watching this, it will still be pre-halving. If it's anything like the previous cycle, then you can still expect at least a halving from that point if history repeats, which it may or may not, but we explain. So the cycles of Bitcoin, like I say, halving every 4 years, and typically the pattern looks something like this. You get four phases of the cycle. The first phase is quiet accumulation. This is when nobody's paying any attention to Bitcoin. It's at a relatively low price compared to the previous all-time high, but normally higher than it was from the previous cycle. So the quiet accumulation phase, that was the bit where a year ago we were at, and I was telling you all that you should be looking at Bitcoin. Then you get into the frenzy or the bull run. We are now in the very early stages of that. And this phase, typically these phases, they last about a year. The bull cycle can sometimes last a bit longer. That can run to like 18 months. And then the correction can be shorter. But in the frenzy stage, you've got to be prepared for big moves either way, which is why I'm not telling you to go out and put money into this. I was a year ago, but now I'm not. I'm really not urging anybody to rush out and buy Bitcoin, because unless you've fully internalized what Bitcoin is trying to do in terms of replacing money, unless you fully internalize that this is not something that you trade in and out of, it's something that you stack and you hold for the long term. If you're thinking, okay, well, this is money that I can't really afford to do without, but I think I can get a quick turn on this right now, it will be very, very easy for you to get shaken out. Because, like I said, for all I know, by the time you're watching this video, Bitcoin has dropped down to, you know, 45K, because you get these corrections, even in the early stages of a bull market, that can be 15-30% quite regularly. And they will happen a lot. In fact, let's explain why they happen. Market makers are bastards, basically, and they're looking at the order book of people who have bought options at various levels. And if you imagine the order book as being a series of prices, and then people tend to cluster options at various levels along there. So has it happened yet, or is it just about to happen? There was a huge block of people who think that Bitcoin was never going to breach 69,000. And so that hasn't happened yet, but there's loads and loads of options up at 69,000. They're basically betting that Bitcoin will not get to that level. And if the price does go through it, they all get liquidated. And that returns an awful lot of coins back onto the market. So just looking at that, you know, now we are here at just on 68,000. I know the market makers are going to push it there because they want to liquidate all of those people who have made those investments.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.